When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So why do y'all think marriage is declining in the Caribbeans?
Truthfully, I don't know why. It's like, because I don't see what else do y'all have to do except not get married. Like, why? It's not like you don't have to throw a whole $1 million wedding. The church is down the block from your crib. You can walk there. Why are we?
They getting married, but they just getting divorced too. They used to stay married. Yeah.
But that can be said for any group of people on this earth.
I was going to say, like, it's more.
Most marriages, not most, 50% of marriages end in divorce. And of that 50% of divorced people, 70% of the women don't want to get married again, while that number is only 30% for the men. So that gives you something to think about as to why people aren't getting married.
So it's the women that don't want to get married. But.
I mean, as a woman, when you get married,
don't settle. Don't say as a woman, because I could speak from a friend experience. She's like my sister. She says she got married in January. She got divorced in March because of the guy. The guy was a whole pastor's son, and he used to sleep with her models behind her back.
That's what I'm saying. As a woman, it's going into a marriage. It's a lot of stuff that you just got to take on the body. And I don't know if people want to do that anymore.
And she found out it was heartbreaking, and that discouraged her from getting married again.
I don't think it's that women don't want to get married. I think somehow y'all have managed to brainwash women into thinking men.
Oh, man.
So that's okay. So let me not. So, okay. I'm sorry. So he's like, ooh, y'all. No, but I think. The narrative has somehow changed, and I don't know where it came from that women feel like they have to compete for a man's affection. So I feel like men are sitting back like, let me see what you're going to do for this and that. And
like,
yeah,
for nothing.
And they'll keep that going for as long
y'all compete?
As you let them keep. I don't compete. But what I'm saying is, from what I can see.
If every woman's saying they don't compete, where's this Where's the competition? Like, I don't get it. I'm not competing.
Yeah.
How are you guys getting the man?
All right, welcome back to another episode of Daily Wrap-Up Crew. No Booker, but I go by the name of Eli. As always, we got Ace with us.
Yes, indeed. It's impressive. I make this shit run. I know I'm late, but greatness takes time. You know what I mean? Ace the GOAT, 2-4.
Oh, man. Yo, see, and this is why he be showing up late, just so he got these bum-ass bars.
That nigga rolled in the bit. Greatness takes time.
You said, I'm late?
Yes. Yo, last but not least, we got Jew.
What it do? It's your boy, Jew. I'm here on my crew. You know what I'm saying? Ace always late because he got to brush his teeth.
That's it. What was the punchline like? Something like.
I mean, I got to keep it real. I had to keep facts. You know what I'm saying?
I already said I was late. You had to talk.
Listen,
I was gonna say something else, but it was gonna sound crazy, so I had to stop myself. I'd rather stop myself than to continue.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, that's fair. Anyway, we got some special guests in the building. Ladies, let them know where they can follow you at.
Hi, my name is Akaya. You can follow me on Instagram, AKYAMARIA, and also TikTok, same thing. YouTube, same thing. So, yeah.
Okay. Hi, guys. My name is Tia Chung. You can follow me on Instagram at tia.chung, TIA.CHUNG. Same thing on TikTok. Holla at me.
Mm-hmm. Hi, it's your girl, Dutch Banks. Mm-hmm. Guyanese girl here. You can follow me at DUTCHBANKS.
Official chicken curry in the building.
Hey.
Don't worry, it's 2 weeks.
Damn,
okay.
It's gonna be a long
Last
show.
But not least, let them know where they can follow you at.
I am Miss Diamond Natural, and my social media handles are universal. @diamond_natural. Mm-hmm. I am the one and only American Guyanese comedian. Yes. Representing for GT.
Okay. GT, man. Like, listen, before we get into these topics, make sure to hit that like button, subscribe if y'all not already subscribed. Subscribe to the second channel too, Daily Rebel Crew Clips. That's where all the short form content going, the shorts, all the clips. We're leaving a main channel just for the main content, podcast, the exclusive content that we're working on. Like, I don't want to give too much away, but join the membership too. Like, and cop the merch. Oh, yeah, we all got the merch. I had to make sure, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, dailyrappercrew.co.
That hoodie clean.
That hoodie is clean. Why you ain't bring
me one? Are they complimentary for us?
That's what I'm saying. We're supposed to
have. Yeah, like, yeah, exactly. Yeah, on Daily Rapper Crew.
We ain't leaving nothing, right?
On dailyrappercrew.com. Like, what? You know what I mean? Like,
we need all the support we can get, you know what I'm saying?
Yo, listen, Wolf, can we get into this first topic real quick?
I could have capped a little bit. Like, oh, yeah, for sure.
Right?
We gotta keep it real, man. I'll give it to y'all for half off. How about that? Ooh. See, y'all got support. Y'all supporting the black business. See, y'all stingy with the black businesses. That's all I'm saying. Now we're going to look at y'all. Y'all looking at us.
Let's get into this first topic real quick.
We need to start gatekeeping Carnival. There is no reason on this earth for anybody that's not from the Caribbean to be at Carnival. And I don't care how y'all feel on the subject. Carnival is starting to get too commercialized for me. Yeah, I know, I love Jada Waiter, but what the fuck do her and her American friends know about Carnival? You're not from the Caribbean, you don't know the music, you don't know the people, you don't know the food, you don't know the culture. What are you doing at Carnival? A lot of y'all look at Carnival as just a way to dress skimpy and go outside and shake your ass, and the fact that y'all reduce our culture to such bullshit just because you want to post on Instagram. And then I'm confused because a lot of y'all that are trying to talk down, y'all come from cultures that are disrespected in every which corner of this earth. So where do you find the space to talk about what Caribbean people are doing? I feel like you need to be either a citizen of a Caribbean island or eligible for citizenship on a Caribbean island to be at Carnival, period. I don't care.
Mm-hmm. So clearly that was your post. And I mean, it had these TikTok streets going crazy. Like, you know what I mean? So can you explain the context behind that post? Because a lot of the divisiveness did seem like you were kind of attacking Black Americans, you know what I mean? Because you did mention Jada Waiter, like, you know what I mean? So can you explain the context and, you know, for anybody that was confused about the post?
Okay, so I made that post during Grenada Carnival, which is like jab, all that stuff. And there was somebody that was in Grenada. He was like kissing a skeleton, whatever. They was covered in oil. And the guy made the video and he was like so disgusted and like turning his nose up and like, what is this? How could they do this? And that's what that stemmed from. And it's also the fact that in Caribbean social media, there is a conversation about foreign influencers being used as the forefront of Carnival. When I mentioned Jada Waiter, I was talking from the perspective of her being an American, not that she was a Black American, because why would it ever be that? Like, that doesn't even make sense. I'm very pro-Black. I love my Black woman. I love that I'm a Black woman. That's my favorite thing about myself. But I'm also from the Caribbean, and that's a big part of who I am. And I feel like it's one thing for you to appreciate a culture. You can go, you can watch, you can say, oh my God, this is so beautiful. I love this. Like, booty-booty-woo. It's another thing for you to participate, and you don't know why you're participating. That was my point.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Dutch, how you feel about this?
I think everyone could participate in Carnival because I love Afrobeat and I love to go to African concert. I don't want nobody to say I'm Caribbean, I'm Guyanese, and I can't go to no Afrobeat concert because I can fight them. Because I was at the Ruga concert and I was on stage with Ruga. I would never want somebody to tell me, oh, you should start gatekeeping or whatever, because they would remember me and bash me. You know what I mean? Mm. So I think everyone can be a part of everybody's culture. We're all one. We all live in this American country. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I think we could share.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Dama, how you feel about this?
For someone who was born here in the States, and then I was raised in Guyana, which is considered part of the Caribbean, let's get that clear. Mm-hmm. I think it's a great way to expose our culture and really bridge the two cultures between American and Caribbean. However, they do need to respect that this is our culture. And for Labor Day weekend, I posted a video from a TikToker because Brooklyn, where the West Indian Day Parade is held annually, mm-hmm. has become the surrounding areas, Crown Heights, they've become extremely gentrified. And so you have these people who are more or less visitors in our spaces trying to dictate how we could celebrate our culture. And that's where the problem comes in. It's like, we've been here, we made these neighborhoods what they are. You can either respect it or you need to go check into a hotel for the weekend because we're not about to change the way we celebrate. I also think it's a big problem when they do come to Carnival and then they start problems when we're just having fun. You know, they're being disrespectful. You know, they take whining and jumping up along the trucks as an invitation to be, you know, disrespectful. And they just don't respect the culture. So it's not that we don't want them there. Educate yourselves before you bring yourselves into our spaces. Mm-hmm. You know, because we don't want to lose the privilege and the right to celebrate our culture. You know, and I think a lot of people don't listen to understand anymore. Comprehension is lacking and they're just ready to attack instead of listening to what we're trying to say. Because we are very loving people. Mm-hmm. We welcome everyone. But if you're going to come into our spaces and not reciprocate or cause our culture to be looked at and frowned upon, then we got a problem. we got a problem.
So I do want to get to, you know, in your video, you said that we should gatekeep Carnival. So what does that look like to you?
To be honest, I don't know. Because I feel like in society, as human beings, we have a tendency to want to include everybody and everything. But that's not sustainable for something like your culture. Like, you can't just have everybody feel like they can have access to everything. Some things do need to be private and they do need to be just to the people who it needs to be for. Like, yeah, that's how I feel. I don't know what it looks like because I don't put together Carnival, so I don't know the scheme of how everything goes together. But I do feel like
I think that's it. You just said it right there. I think the organizers of Carnival need to be of Caribbean heritage. Like, I don't know if you guys saw the viral video of the Carnival in Nottingham. It looked like a cheerleading carnival. Did you see that?
I seen the video.
Yeah, and so everybody was like crickets. Like, what are y'all doing? It's you know, it's just not acceptable. So I think when you don't have organizers of Caribbean heritage who can successfully gatekeep the culture, that's when it becomes a problem. But everybody is, they're just looking at it as a moneymaker. They want to get in on the coin, basically.
Like, to me, I feel like it's more about the respect. Like, as Tia mentioned, like, I'm Grenadian as well. So I feel like job in general is like kind of like seen upon as like the devilish, but that's not really the meaning. So I feel like people need to educate themselves more about it. Like, instead of like, oh, that's disgusting. They're dressed all in black and they have snakes around them. They have all this like pigs and all this stuff. And I feel like that's just, you've got to educate yourself on these things before you participate and make comments about stuff like that. So,
I
think, you know, one thing about, and I think why your comment section was the way it was, is because there seems to be this divisiveness that is going on in the diaspora, whether it's Africans or, you know, Black Americans or Caribbeans. There seems to be this narrative of, you know, your culture is not, you know, as respected, or, you know, you don't have any culture. Like, I've seen, you know, we had African women.
I don't know why anybody says that.
We have, you know, we had African women on the show who, you know, said that their parents, you know, looked down upon Black Americans a certain way. And I also know Caribbean parents who have come to this country and, you know, stay away from them Black people because they are X, Y, and Z. So, you know, how do we get to a space where we can just, you know, come together as African people globally without this division of this, oh, I'm not Black, I'm Jamaican, or I'm Guyanese. You know what I mean?
Like, I think it's just a human flaw, because I even saw recently on TikTok. It was an Indian Trinidadian woman who said that Native Indians said that, you know, your ancestors may be Indian, but you're not Indian. We don't consider you Indian. Mm-hmm. So people always look, it's just unfortunately, as human beings, we're just always trying to find falsehoods to create a sort of a fake hierarchy, yeah, right? Yeah. Because even between Black Americans and Caribbeans, our cultures really, they're so intertwined. As you know, something so simple as, I know Black Americans and Caribbeans, when you dream fish, that means somebody's pregnant. Mm-hmm. Everybody, that's a Black American thing. That means we could trace that back to Africa. Mm. The same thing to have rice and peas in your house on New Year's Eve or day, that mm-hmm. goes back to Africa. Mm. So it's just understanding. You know, we just have to be willing to sit down and understand each other respectfully. And it's something I talk about all the time. You don't have to be disrespectful to someone just to disagree with them and get your point across. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, social media gives everybody a green light to do just that. Right. Be disrespectful because they're behind you. You can't see them.
Right.
So it's the coward's way out to say, because they wouldn't say that to your face.
Right.
Yeah. Like, it would be a totally different energy.
I can hear you saying that, but me coming from, me with my mother being an American Black mm-hmm. woman mm-hmm. and my father being a Jamaican man from Jamaica, mm-hmm. right? I can say that my father's side of the family looked at Black Americans mm-hmm. a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And they already had in their mind, whether they said it on social media or not, oh, Yankee this, Yankee that. That's mm-hmm. that's been a real thing. We could sit yeah. here and make it seem like it's an illusion, but all other groups of Black people, which we're all Black, mm-hmm. like, no matter, I don't give a fuck what island you from, which forest you from, or whatever the fuck you from, we all are Black. Mm-hmm. And we tend to look down on Black Americans. You get what I'm saying? And yeah, I even hear people say, oh, well, if you go to, they're like, oh, we come out here and this, that, and oh, you guys are lazy, this, that, and another. Oh, y'all don't do shit. Oh, y'all just on welfare, when Black people are not even the most on welfare. You get what I'm saying? But mm-hmm. this whole mindset of Black people being lazy when we built America, mm. you get what I'm saying? And yes, you know, immigrants come here and get an opportunity, but it is a real slight on Black Americans. It's just people come here from different countries and just look down on African Americans.
And what... Because I'm always curious to know, where do y'all think that comes from? Like, this negative stereotype.
That's a stereotype. Yeah, that's just been pushed. You know, it's just a way to push this stereotype to give other cultures the green light to be disrespectful towards Black Americans, and also not to question the system if they push that narrative out there. Mm. So it's up to us to be strong enough to really blow past it.
That would never change.
Yeah. You think so?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. People been fighting for that for
yeah,
years.
They've been fighting for it. But even when he was talking just now, you know, me being born here, there's sometimes when I'm just making a joke and I'm American. I have I'm not a naturalized citizen. Mm-hmm. And I'll make jokes like, these American people. And people look at me and I'm like, I'm being facetious. I'm being funny. I'm being stupid. You know, so mm-hmm. it's just a running joke. For me, but I know it's not funny.
Right.
Yeah, I know it's not funny. So,
what's your thoughts on this whole diaspora war that seems to be going on in our community?
I feel like she said, it would not like change, because being like, my parents are both from Grenada. They came here in the like 80s and 90s. So what he was saying about how they think that Black people are lazy does like resonate with me, because I've heard that a lot. But mm-hmm. obviously, as me being a first generation American, like, I don't really obviously agree. But I don't know. Like, I don't know what can change it, to be honest, because I feel like it's a real stereotype that we just cannot change. Obviously, and even if we try to change it, I think that it will be, like, a way... I don't know how to put it in words. Like, having all three of us together, like, Africans, Caribbeans, and Black Americans, will be, like, such a powerful thing that it's not something that the world is even probably ready for.
And that's exactly why they show us the way they're showing us, because mm-hmm. they don't want us mm-hmm. together.
Exactly.
So yeah, they push the media out there, mm-hmm. and the people in other continents is learning about America from what? the media, the movies, yeah, all that shit that they pushing out there. So when they come here, they already got this preconceived notion that, oh, they thugs, they not civil, all this other shit. And that's, it's just ignorance at the end of the day. You got to take time and get to know people before judging them.
Yep.
And you got to bring that respect that she was talking about. Like, everything that you approach, it got to be respectful. Otherwise, it's not going to work.
But. Mm-hmm.
That's fair. And I love that we had this conversation. Like, you know what I mean? Because we do need to have these spaces to have these conversations more.
That's how it starts.
Yeah. So to get into this next topic, there's a lot of talk recently with Black American women who saying, you know, they're frustrated with the Black men in America, obviously, and they want to get them a Caribbean or they want to get them a Caribbean man. So what advice do you have for Black women looking to date Caribbean men?
Don't. Yeah.
Like, I was about to say.
Don't.
Like,
why not?
It's because it's a different level of manipulation and lies and just, it's like they love you so good. Like, they will have you so convinced that they love you.
And this is really,
and it's just someone, a completely different person as soon as he turned the corner. Like, it's so scary. It's almost unbelievable.
Yeah,
like,
that good stay good. Them Caribbean men is trash.
That's what I was you to have to build.
You
got
stamina. You got to get enough energy, enough strength to deal with them.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah. Exactly.
Especially Jamaicans.
I took the words out of my mouth.
I had one. I mean, I want no more.
They just had a viral video about that too.
A woman.
She said she left Jamaican men to deal with a Nigerian man, and a Jamaican woman stitched the video, and she goes, it's my sister. They're both members of Satan's army. You left the ancestor for the... It was so funny. Exactly. Yeah, but I mean, I get what she's saying. So from what I can ascertain, being American-born and being able to comfortably navigate between the two cultures of American and Caribbean, American men, the saying is that they treat their wife or wifey, she gets everything. She gets the love. She gets the money. The side chick is, you know, just to get his shit off, basically, and to run away from his problems. The danger with Caribbean men is that they love everybody.
Everybody. Everybody.
Everybody getting the same amount of money. Everybody bills getting paid. What? Everybody's getting a
holiday.
Sound
like a great man.
He spent... You see?
That's the Jamaican in the
Christmas with everybody. He's spending Christmas morning with you. What? He's spending Christmas dinner with you. And so they went through catches.
Sound like a man that could navigate with time. Continue.
You know what I'm saying? So that's why they think, you know, they want Caribbean men because they are excellent providers. Mm-hmm. Caribbean men are phenomenal providers, but they taking care of everybody.
They could walk though. They're independent.
You think they got 10 jobs because they want to? No. They got to take care of Suzette and Bridget and Carol. They got to pay everybody rent. They got to take care of everybody. Yeah. Exactly. And they will tell you, you know, that they can have their wife and they telling the side chick, I better not see another man around here because I'm paying
all the bills. And agree to the selfish?
That's the game.
Why'd you let me?
Yeah, he's looking at me like she know too much.
Yeah, they don't want you there with nobody, but they give him blow.
Yeah,
you mustn't get nobody, you must there with he, and he there with his wife.
Yeah.
Sound like he's honest.
Well, I mean, hey, if that's you what
you're... So, I'm just telling y'all, everything y'all say...
We can take it right back to if that's what you with. Honest with you from day one, you got to
respect lucky.
It.
I'm just saying.
Lucky.
That's all I got
to
say.
So you think you should be able to have another man in the house that he paying bills?
Watch. Watch the Trini.
If you want to pay the bills,
Watch the Trini.
I'm
very independent. Once I pay me bills, he could never run my show.
Mom's saying if he is paying your bills.
If he pay me bills?
Yes.
He would never. No Caribbean man. Not me, because I know where we're going to go. Yeah. I know my place. No, I go.
She got it.
Pay your own bills. Yeah, you will never hear Caribbean men saying you got to go 50-50. They don't want none of that, because... The means to keep you in line is to take care of you.
Exactly. Some of
that's
them.
That's just what it is.
Some.
I don't know
the
if I really
they're older,
that.
The ones I deal with. I don't know
you
about
see
that.
You see you
about
go the ones in we time?
Yeah, I don't know about them new age ones.
I wish I buy you time.
The new age ones?
I wish.
I want y'all to get y'all shit off. You know what I'm saying? Like,
now I got me low-key to queer.
I mean, you ask the questions.
So, yeah, I'm listening. Like, you know, so where do y'all go from here then? So, since Caribbean men is so bad.
Exactly.
I mean, where do y'all go
from here? We didn't say they were bad. We just said you got to buckle up. Just,
y'all didn't say they was bad?
No, she did say it was trash. She said you didn't trash.
She said that.
I feel like I'm readily equipped to date a Caribbean man because I'm a Caribbean woman. I am you in this body. So whatever you want to do, I can do it too. I can do it worse, actually.
Yeah.
That's the savage.
I don't think but Caribbean women say that up front. Y'all might sneak in the back.
I don't lie.
Y'all be
we
quiet.
We need to see what you're on first. If you play, then I play. But if you don't play, I won't play.
I don't know. I spoke to a lot of Caribbean men. They don't speak too highly.
We just told you they're lying.
Which one?
They're liars.
They will sell you a dream because they want you get the Caribbean girl. They want you steal me. They want you take me away from you.
Also possibly.
They know what to do. They're very jealous.
I mean, I heard that. Some of these women, you know what I mean? Caribbean women, they ain't loyal. They have a baby on you and it'd be a whole nother man's baby.
What?
But they lie to you. You know what I'm saying? Like,
you see?
Where are you hearing this from?
I'm just saying.
Mostly Caribbean men don't take care of the children.
I was just about to say, wait a minute. Not the men who got families on different continents. They didn't tell you that.
Yeah.
No, ain't no way.
I gotta backtrack though. You said
responsibilities.
How are you paying your bills if he not taking care of his children? Y'all said Caribbean men pay everybody
they
bills.
Providers, so yeah. They got all these families.
Some of them. Some you would be lucky to find some of them, but the rest, they would make babies outside of the relationship. I wouldn't even know.
Like, yeah, you wouldn't even know.
Kids. They won't even know.
Oh, that,
shout out to my pops.
Most of the Caribbean men.
There's a lot of men taking care of kids that he believes is his. Yep. That ain't his too, though.
A lot of Caribbean men do that, too.
That's true.
Yeah, they
do. Take care of everybody.
That's one thing with Caribbean men. They would take responsibility from somebody else.
Yeah. They would take responsibility for what?
Somebody else's kid.
Yeah, somebody else's child.
They'll play
stepdaddy.
Well, shout out to them. Like, no wonder the black women want to go to them. Like, yo. So let me get to this next topic, right? We got to that. So I do want to get to this one too. Because I seen this article in Jamaica and how they were banning drill music because they said that, or just illegal activity music because they said that it had an influence on the youth and stuff like that, right? This is in Jamaica. I don't know about in all the Caribbean countries and stuff like that.
Oh,
so I really want to know what influence do you think that, you know, genres like dancehall and drill is having on the younger generation?
I don't know how y'all banning that. We've been telling women to take Buddy from... from what? Baby's telling women to take Buddy. So it's just like, I'm going to let y'all talk first.
About him selling drugs. What are we talking?
Huh?
Like, Buju has mad songs about him selling drugs. Like, what you mean?
No, I mean, this is a new policy that Jamaica is.
No, but I did hear
they were planning to ban dancehall in Jamaica. I did hear that.
I didn't know. Dancehall in Jamaica?
Yeah.
Their own music?
Yeah, they were, exactly. So, but after they said it, I didn't hear too much more about it. So I don't
know.
That would never happen. It would be a riot.
So basically, what I want to get to with this topic, because, you know, in American culture, especially in hip-hop, when we think about the types of music that is heavily in rotation, whether it's with the guys, they talk about the illegal activities, how they disrespect women, whatever the case is, and you see how that affects the generation. And now we even have, you know, the women in hip hop who are very much sexually liberated, and we see the impact that it has on the younger generation, right? You know what I mean? So this is why I wanted to relate it back to Caribbean culture, because when you think about dancehall music, there's an aspect that is very sexual, you know what I mean? And these kids are growing up talking about, I got a penis for your vagina, girl. They don't even know what that means, but they're growing up listening to this type of music. So do you think, you know, those specific genres do they have the impact on, like, the younger generation growing up?
I think it's the same, you know, even with when I was coming up with, you know, hip-hop and Lil' Kim and all that stuff. I think the problem now is that everything is easily accessible. Like, it's at their fingertips with their phones. So before, you know, your parents, you know, they had parental control and stuff like that. So I think that's the reason why they're trying to rein it in. as with anything, I think it goes back to, you know, you have to be your child's biggest influence. So they could try to stop it all they want, but I don't think it's going to change because it's all about what sells, you know? So the studios, the recording companies and stuff like that, they're not about to make all this music PG. They're not, because it's not going to sell.
But who's controlling these, you know, these record labels that is pushing out that narrative? Like, you know what I mean? You said it's not about to sell. These normally ain't people that look like us that own these record labels. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah. So you just, exactly what you just said, it just went full circle back to what you said. It's the narrative they're trying to push out. I saw on TikTok, I don't even want to call anybody's name because I don't want to come across, they say, oh, you're targeting a specific artist and you're bullying them. When I think what really needs to happen is you need to address the issue underneath the entire umbrella of hip hop, right? And so you had one woman call out certain artists in hip hop saying that they were industry plants designed to tear down the image of the black woman, and all hell broke loose. Mm-hmm. I saw so many stitches. I think it ended up on the Shade Room. And so, you know, she was just basically saying that this is a narrative that they're purposely trying to push to make it seem like black women are hypersexualized and, you know, they're not as educated. Because remember, not too long ago, black women were the highest educated group in the United States. So now they have to counter that. They have to combat that and try to change the narrative that's out there. Like, oh, no, they're not that smart. No, this is what they're really about. So we don't know who's writing these lyrics. I personally think they're despicable. Like, they're not, it's like, what are y'all doing? Y'all not even telling a story. You're just talking nasty and you got a good beat to it. You know what I'm saying? So people are calling that out, but the record labels are basically telling them, yo, if you don't do it, we're not going to push your album.
Yeah, but you see how, my fault, you see how that can play effect a role into now when a young girl is trying to make it in the industry, she feels like she has to go down that sexual route.
Yes.
And this is why I wanted to kind of reel it back into Caribbean culture, because is that effect having the same thing on the Caribbean, the dance hall and the drills, obviously, because drill, you know, in Jamaica is a product of American drill, like, you know what I mean, in America. So, you know, we see the activity, the spike in gang activity and stuff like that, which is why they're trying to, like, all right, we got to chill with this. So, you know what I mean? So I want to bring this back into Caribbean culture. Do you think that does have an effect on the youth?
I guess it's how it's presented and how it's controlled. As far as the youth go, I know I raised mine. You understand what I'm saying? And so I try to intercept what's coming at them. Well, I tried to intercept when they were younger. So I do feel that the artists have a responsibility to some extent, but at the same time, they want to push their art as well. I don't think I personally don't think the government should get involved with it. I don't think so. I think they're overstepping. I think it's a gross, abuse of authority, and they're really just overstepping when it comes to that. Because run the government. We didn't ask y'all to talk about music.
But then it kind of goes hand in hand, because when the songs is about shooting and all that stuff, and then these kids are shooting people and gang activity in like a Jamaica and Trinidad in Trinidad, I know it's like a high, like,
crime. So they have that in the music?
Yeah.
Listen, dancehall
these days is real rough. So I think it goes hand in hand at the same time. Like, we could say, like, the government should not be involved, but, like, that's kind of their job when you think about it.
The thing with Caribbean people and the drill music and thing, right? But when I was back home, when I used to go to school, I would talk about that. Mm-hmm. When schools have fights against each other, we'll try doing Bloods and Crips. They would try practicing stuff that the American kids
in do. Guyana?
Yes. Like, why are you doing that? Y'all know the consequences of this. Stop practicing what y'all see on television.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. Influence, like, they don't have better sense. They just see and they will do. That's the only thing with Caribbean kids back home. They don't think. They don't know better. They don't understand the reason. They don't know the danger behind these things. This is the only thing I can tell you about, because they really don't know the seriousness behind the bloods, the stories, these things. This is the only thing but Caribbean kids. Mm-hmm. That's why they be influenced easy back home. That's the only reason why they want to ban it. Well, I think.
Are they trying to ban it in Guyana too?
Nah, they would never. They can't control the kids back home. But it's not as serious. Drilling and them thing. That guy is turning us. I was drilling. They would not. They didn't understand them thing. They're more dance hall and soca. Drill? I know they didn't even know Nipsey Hussle that good. Oh, what am I doing? We always, Guyanese people always late with the hip-hop thing. Then I sure didn't really into the drill thing right now. That's the only thing with Guyana. We always late and last minute. But that's the only thing with Caribbean kids practicing what they see on television or what they hear. They don't know the seriousness behind the Bloods and Crips, the signs and these things. They would see it on TV and on Instagram and they would practice in the signs them. And they don't know what the woo sign mean. And they need to stop it because they get themselves in problem. That's the only thing I should say I know you from
sound,
back home.
You sound like a true Caribbean person. I want to say it's a generational thing, right? First. But I would say, and I hope nobody's offended, when you come from a Caribbean background, your parents are on your ass. So, like, you, I don't give a fuck what song you singing, what dance you doing. When your fucking parent come around, you ain't doing that shit no more.
It's true. You stop.
And now with the freedom that you get here in America with children control the narrative of how they how their parent respond to them, they can decide how they're going to react to their mom telling you something. You shut up, mom! You know what I mean?
You can't do the mom.
You're not doing that in Jamaica, Guyana, anywhere else, because ain't nobody there to save you.
You
know what I'm saying? So when you bring up the government out here in America, they will protect the child, even though if the child is wrong. You get what I'm saying? There's no government that's going to help. If anything, the police gonna beat your ass with your parent over there. You get what I'm saying? Yeah, I think that's a difference.
Yeah.
Even like, even if you look at the educational system, I would feel like, you know, at 16, people in the Caribbean's are ready for college.
Yeah, they're
ready.
Smart about home because we learn.
That's a fact.
We learn to count and pint, stick, pinter, and toothpick and matchstick and these things.
Very from we think well educated out
these
there.
These kids in school get laptop and preschool laptop and iPad now we know, but writing down numbers and with pen and paper.
It's a huge
difference. We don't know about technology. It's not that big. That's why most people here pass with flying colors from the Caribbean or something. Because we don't know about them technology.
I've seen plenty of people come from the Caribbeans and then move to America and then really excel.
There's actually studies that show, and it goes back to the narrative that they're trying to push. There's actually studies that show that universities and colleges, they would accept somebody who's from Africa or from the Caribbean before they accept somebody who's like African American.
Yeah, because it's
well,
it's
that's
not
America
that
culture.
It's
you know
not
I mean?
That
like
affordable
shit on
back it. Home. The technology, the iPad, the iPhones, and these things. Not everybody is, you know,
exactly.
like could get that easy. You got work
MacBook,
hard.
Are you crazy?
I think that too. What you just said, and I did see that article. And I think there is some. And this is why we go back to diaspora wars, because, you know, when you have Black Americans who do feel like they're qualified, but then somebody from another country is able to go in and get accepted. And then those same people that get accepted is now looking down on Black Americans. Well, oh, yeah, I just lazy. I came over here from my country and I got accepted. You know what I mean? So now it's like, OK, well, now this is another, you know, obstacle in our way for us, you know, that people that are actually qualified, you know what I mean, to get into those schools. You know what I mean? So everything goes back to
if you even want to dive in deeper into that. Because a lot of, you know, immigrants come to America, right? And this is no shade on anybody. Let's say I know my potential. If I want, let's just say a home health aide, for example, right? I say, oh, I'm qualified and I should be making $30 an hour. But somebody from the Caribbean is willing to do it for $21 and saying I'm lazy. But I'm telling you, hey, you don't fucking take that job. They're underpaying you. And, you know, because you come from the Caribbean, you can say, well, $21 is a lot of money to me. I don't give a fuck. And then we look like we're lazy because we don't want to take the $21, but we know it's worth $30. So sometimes we do have to fucking listen to each other like, yo, hold up. Don't take the $21. Unite with us. Tell them to fuck you. And then we're going to go get this $30 together. I mean, a lot of people don't talk about that, but that's the real reality to
but
some situations.
But that's hard for someone who's coming to the country.
Yeah, it's true. Because
and they're sleeping on the relative's
floor.
coach. And they're trying to get out, and you know they can't. So they're like, "Look, I just got to make money."
And they got family back home. They don't even have a floor.
Like, and they have family down home, back home. That's the
me. I'm alone here. My mom is in Guyana. My father is in Guyana. So I have to fend for myself. I can tell you, I just got hustled.
I understand.
My own bread. Mm. It's not easy being alone here, and your family back home. I mean, I got family here, but.
Yeah, I know.
Your mom and your dad. Mm-hmm.
But my dad, my mom is a single mom, so I grew up with my mom. Mm-hmm. So I know, but working since I was 16, since I came out of high school, I never went to university. I never get a chance to do this, but I would when I get a chance to. But you can't put your hand, I can't reach. Whatever I have, I'm contented. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm saying. People just try to come here to have a better life.
Mm-hmm. So, I understand
that. Yeah, it's tough.
If somebody tell me, oh, Dutchess, come work here for like $20 an hour or whatever, me, I gone for it. I can save my money until it reached a freaking $1 million. And get my, yeah, that's me.
And send it back home. That's what y'all do.
Send it back home.
Mm-hmm. And that's smart. I'm not mad at it. I just think that sometimes if you're looking down on me, who's qualified for a certain amount, I think that part is this that shouldn't be happening in that whole shit. I understand we all got to get money how we got to get it. Mm.
So I do want to, because I know you had a topic about, you know, hip-hop women from back in the day to now to present, you know, the difference, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I do want to focus, because we have a Caribbean panel, you know what I mean? I feel like the only outcast in this motherfucker. Mm-hmm. So I do want to, you know, get y'all perspectives on, you know, Caribbean female artists from back then to now, like, what do you think are some of the comparisons? Would you say?
I think there were more raunchier back in the day. To be honest, it's crazy. Saw, like, have y'all seen Lady
as soon
Song?
As I'm thinking about that was the first person who came to my mind.
Now it's more like seen, like, obviously Cynthia is on the Shade Room nowadays. Jada Kingdom, all them, but like Lady Saw.
Shout out Jada Kingdom.
All right, relax. But Lady Saw, like, she really was doing a lot.
So what about Spice
too? Spice too. But Spice is still here right now. But Lady Saw, like, you know, she's a
Christian.
Christian,
whatever. Mm-hmm.
But definitely, I think
they
were way more
raunchier
before,
don't
to be
about
honest.
Niggas been jumping on the pooms off the rooftop since 88. What are you talking
about? I know, of course.
Niggas since 88, probably before that.
Way before that. Yeah, before that.
So would you say it's the same thing? Like, you know, what do you think is some of the difference between the Caribbean female artists from back in the day to now?
Well, I think Lady Saw, she opened up a lot of doors. I think she was like the first to do a lot of the stuff that she did, right? You had other female reggae artists like Patra, and I'm trying to think of some other ones, but they were more like, you know, they tried to stay true to the culture, you know, respectful, you know, and you know, they didn't want to be looked down on, and Lady Saw was like, nah, I'm doing it with the guys, right? Mm-hmm. So I think the advantage that the new Caribbean artists have is like Shensia and Spice. They've become mainstreamed. Yeah. So they were able to break cultural barriers, right? So whereas I from what I could tell, dancehall and soca and stuff wasn't really listened in American circles as much as it was. Back then, it wasn't listened as much as it is now.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's
because they were able to break those cultural barriers.
Yeah, don't forget Rihanna. Even though Rihanna to the hip-hop.
Definitely thing, Rihanna.
She still broke Barbados.
Yeah.
And because, because she became a pop.
Yeah.
But she
kept her voice, though. She didn't eliminate her voice.
But I feel like the one thing, when they come mainstream, like especially Shensia nowadays, like her music has really changed. So I feel like sometimes it changes their whole switch.
Yeah,
and I don't really like that, because
what do you mean? Like, give me an example.
She sounds like a lot more Americanized now. Yeah. Like her music sounds closer to pop, hip hop than it does to.
And
what
I think
it
that
to.
Comes from the record label.
Yeah,
of course.
Because they want to break into the mainstream. Yep. Unfortunately, that's where the money
and
is.
And she can't control
that's
it.
How they blow up. Mm-hmm. So
Sean Paul did the same shit too.
Yeah.
Nah, Sean Paul is one of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was a baddie.
Pull up to the karaoke night, like, you know what I'm saying? Listen, this last time I want to get to, you know, obviously with, you know, one thing I know about American culture is that we're very, we have a large influence, you know, especially like we was on a live stream And people in Africa was talking about, yeah, man, I watch a show over there. You know, we're very big on hip hop. We see, I got the movies and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, there was a number that I seen, and I, you know, I'm not Caribbean, but I didn't know this was a thing. But apparently the number of, you know, weddings and marriages are in a decline in Jamaican and other Caribbean cultures. And they contributed a lot to the Western influence, like the movies, the TVs, the visits when they come here. So they're saying there's a decrease in marriages in the Caribbean. What do y'all think is some of the reasons why people are not valuing marriage like that anymore in the Caribbean?
This is a basic elementary school formula. Like, why buy the cow when you can get the milk for free? I think, and it's not to, you know, to say that women shouldn't be doing this and women shouldn't be doing that, but I think the bar has been set so low, you know, and that stems from, you know, women really not standing and saying, you know, this is what I want. It's like, you know, oh yeah, you could just come and live with me. So yeah, why would anybody want to get married when I could just live with you? I don't have to commit to you.
It's true. So true. A lot of, I would talk from experience. Yeah.
I can live with six of you.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah, most people from, you know, Guyana, that I would think everybody living home first before getting married. Mm-hmm. They're not getting married. Hardly people getting married. Rare. The only people getting married is East Indian people. They would marry out the daughter at a very young age. The East Indians don't play, and the Muslims back home. Wow. They don't play that culture. They don't play with that. But Black people, and so back home, everybody's left home. People just get babies out of wedlock or whatever, and that's it. People hardly believe in marriages because they think being married don't last long.
Well, I can take it back to something that my mom told me years ago, and this is just proof that racism is prevalent regardless of. Mm-hmm. So you would look at Guyana, for perfect example, and the narrative that they push out, you would believe the entire country is mostly Indian, right? But there's a lot of Black people there. Mm-hmm. So they pushed it. So this narrative is being pushed globally that Black people are not worth as much as other races, whether it's white, Indian. And so my mom, you know, she told me, she said the Black men in Guyana were saying that they don't want to marry the Black women.
Yeah,
they want to marry the Amerindians.
Or the Amerindians.
Yeah, and then the Black women don't cook. So it's just, you know, it's just...
They're saying this in Guyana?
They're saying this in Guyana. Like, you would be surprised that as Black people, we would go to Guyana and face racism.
Yeah, it's tough.
And, you know, and there are a few platforms that I watch them very closely, and I'm like, wow, they don't push any content from Black people, you know, coming out of Guyana or any of the Caribbean nations. And it's sad. So it's so racism doesn't only exist here. It exists in the Caribbean too, but just between different ethnic groups.
Yeah.
But but Black people are always the common denominator.
Right. we don't back down.
Yeah. Yeah.
So why do y'all think marriage is declining in the Caribbeans?
Truthfully, I don't know why. It's like, because I don't see what else do y'all have to do except not get married? Like, why? It's not like you don't have to throw a whole $1 million wedding. The church is down the block from your crib. You can walk there. Why are we?
They getting married, but they just getting divorced too. They used to stay married. Yeah.
But that can be said for any group of people on this earth.
I was going to say, like, it's more...
Most marriages, not most, 50% of marriages end in divorce. And of that 50% of divorced people, 70% of the women don't want to get married again, while that number is only 30% for the men. So that gives you something to think about as to why people aren't getting married.
So it's the women that don't want to get married. But.
I mean, as a woman, when you get married...
Don't settle. Don't say as a woman, because I could speak from a friend experience. She's like my sister. She says she got married in January. She got divorced in March because of the guy. The guy was a whole pastor's son, and he used to sleep with her models behind her back.
That's what I'm saying. As a woman, it's going into a marriage, it's a lot of stuff that you just got to take on the body. And I don't know if people want to do that anymore.
And she found out it was heartbreaking, and that discouraged her from getting married again.
But I think it is the woman that's that's changing the narrative, because growing up, when women wanted to get married, there was more marriages because women would put that pressure on you, and you had to go, you either had to step up to the plate and marry her or she was going to go. Now, they don't even want to get married. So it's like,
I was just about to say that, yeah.
That's why there's less marriages now, because
I don't think it's that women don't want to get married. I think somehow y'all have managed to brainwash women I think the narrative has somehow changed, and I don't know where it came from that women feel like they have to compete for a man's affection. So I feel like men are sitting back like, yeah, let me see what you're gonna do for this and that, and
like,
yeah,
for nothing.
And they'll keep that going for as long as you let them. Keep. I don't compete, but what I'm saying is, from what I can see,
if every woman's saying they don't compete, where's this? Where's the competition? Like, I don't get it. I'm not competing.
Yeah.
How are you guys getting the man?
I tell you this, when I hear women say this, I'm not competing, but other ethnic groups of women are competing, and the statistics are showing that they are competing. Like, so it's like, yes, you can sit at home and do a Sierra's prayer and wait for that right magical man to come to your doorstep, or you go out and get the quality of
men. Other ethnic groups are competing in what's for men in that
For the quality of men that they want for them their lives, they are competing for that man. They're showing why they are the best.
Other cultures of women, they don't have to go through. I'm sorry, but they don't have to go through what black women have to go through.
That's a lie.
No, it's not. There's not. You cannot find 10. How do I say this? I don't want to say Arab, and that's wrong, but you can't find 10 Arab women that's going to willingly be married to a broke man for her whole life. Just period, point blank.
But then,
but that's expected of black women. We're supposed to be with him just being able to pay the light bill for 50 years.
No.
What?
No.
Come on, bro.
Impossible.
But think about this. I don't want the broke black men, which is understandable.
Which is understandable.
Most women don't want the broke black men, right? So that means a bulk of the women want the men that's making money, right? So if a bulk of y'all want these small amount of men, y'all going to have to compete for the men.
Yeah, but I'm saying some women, they're not going to do that. Like, they're just going
to you're going to be alone, or you're going to have to date the broke nigga. That's it.
No. Right?
Y'all did that to yourself. If y'all put these men on a pedestal, we ain't put them on a pedestal.
Yes,
y'all did that.
Can we spend a block on the average man? Because a lot of these dudes working in bodegas, they still got wives at home, right?
Let me finish, because
he's saying y'all putting these men on a pedestal. They working at a bodega. And look, they don't got one wife. They got multiple wives. And those wives are still working in the bodega with them. They are cooking. They're cleaning. They're watching the kids. They're not complaining. They may be complaining. I'm not sure. But they're there.
They're there.
Yeah. So when you guys see a man, if y'all saw a black man in the store trying to talk, you a bum ass nigga. You get what I'm saying?
But the bodega guy make money for sure.
The bodega guy owns the bodega.
Hold on.
That's wrong. That's what you think, because it's five of them in here. But they also live in a crib with five other relatives.
That's perfectly fine. That's their culture. It's American culture. That you're not supposed to live with your family.
You see this? It's not all right for me, but it's all right for him. But his wife is still standing with him.
Because they got married at a young age.
Oh my God, excuse me. That's their culture. The grandma lived with her grandma, so little baby cousin. You guys are expecting the epilogue from a man.
I like grow with you. You got to get a $1 million.
It don't sound like you saying.
I didn't sell me.
Not you.
Y'all settle, right?
Yeah.
I as a builder, I would grow with you. But you have to have a certain amount of money for me for manage. Oh, American bills, light bill, phone bill, this bill. I got back pad. I got to get liners. I got to get food. You got to help me do something.
I just want to know
what they doing so much different from us. Because even if y'all talking about cheating, every other man does that. I'm just adding things because I want to know what are the things that makes them so special. And I don't want to sound like, oh, this
ain't this. I don't know. I've only dated black women. I'm not going to date anybody.
But they're provided. But y'all don't know that when they come here as immigrants, they get loans off the rip. But y'all don't put that into perspective, right? And do y'all also know that black men are most the biggest fathers and out of all ethnic groups? Mm-hmm. So if you're looking at these same dudes, they might be there, but that don't mean they're there.
That's okay. True.
Well, I mean, I'm a black man father.
Y'all like using but stats. I'm just saying.
That's true. I'm just saying black women most definitely have to jump through more hoops for the same thing that other women of other cultures don't have to do.
And I think that's wrong. I think that's wrong.
You wouldn't know. You're not a black woman. You're not the one who has to jump through black women's shoes.
What hoops I got to jump through?
We have to be okay with the fact that he might have.
This is going back to the first question when you asked about the black woman, like, dating a Caribbean man, why you wouldn't date them. Mm. You have to deal with all these things. Like, you got to worry about if he have a baby on the side, if he's dealing with this and that.
You got to do that with Brad and Chad, too.
Every other culture does the same shit.
But they're not as emboldened.
Exactly.
That's exactly what I'm trying to say.
Can I tell y'all
who
why?
Who come home on Friday and be like, I'll see you Monday when I get home from
can
work.
Can I please tell you why?
And they not going to work.
Because their women are not saying the shit on media like you guys are.
Their women
are not sitting here throwing them under the fucking ground like y'all, like women.
We don't see it.
These motherfuckers be fucking their mothers and sisters and having kids with them. And we ain't fucking talking about that. Their mother ain't on the fucking name. Yeah, yeah, my son just fucked me. No, they ain't saying that shit. But yet y'all out here worrying about and yes, it's wrong, but y'all putting them on a pedestal they don't belong on. That's what I'm saying. Okay. They are fucking everybody too. They are.
But they're not so bold faced with it.
They're not talking about it. Come on, these niggas, it's fucking their neighbors.
They do come on TikTok and tell all their business, just like that. Not really.
The thing is, I promise you, if we had a panel of all Hispanic women or all Indian women or all Asian women, they would have the same exact stories I have. And I think sometimes we get too caught up in, oh, well, if he's paying my bills, it's okay if he cheat. You know what I mean? As long as he pay, because that's the first thing. And I'm not saying that y'all women shouldn't focus on it, but there's other things to a man that I think that y'all should prioritize instead of, can he pay all of my goddamn bills and but I don't no have to do anything.
But the average woman doesn't want a man to pay every single one of her bills. No. We just don't want to feel like we got to do our whole lives by ourselves and then come home and still have to do your life too.
Because you gotta be submissive to if he paid everything for you, you can't do nothing. You gotta be inside. Exactly. You want to take control.
And then I feel like y'all want a traditional woman. Y'all don't want to be traditional. Y'all want me to sit at home, cook, clean, raise all the kids, and go to work? It's not happening.
Real men don't want that. Real men know that we gotta help our women. Real men know that.
I like the statement. Just sounding good.
I mean, listen, I think it's a little bit hard to judge, especially in American culture when inflation is so ridiculous, like, you know what I mean? And and you know, I always say this again, in New York, making 100K is the equivalent of making $36,000. Like, that ain't help, that ain't supporting no family. So now me, I'm thinking 100K is good. Like, you know what I'm saying? No, I gotta make 200K just to support like my wife and one kid, maybe. Like, you get what I'm saying? So it is, you know, society is different. Cause when we talk about our grandfathers, that nigga was working in a factory and he was able to support 8 families off his one paycheck. It's different. Like, you get what I'm saying? Now you cannot do that. Like, you know what I mean? So I think the guys that, you know, the women are put on a pedestal, the 10% of guys that are the high earners, they're getting women left and right. And those women know the type of the caliber of man they are, and they're doing whatever they can to secure that man. When you're sitting back and saying, well, LeBron James, he's supposed to know who the fuck I am, and I ain't supposed to do nothing. No, Savannah, she worked hard to get LeBron, even though it was
and
high school.
And keep him, you know what I mean?
So,
high school.
Yeah, but she still worked hard. Yeah. She knew who he was going to be. Like, you know what I'm saying?
She didn't know who he was in high school.
Yeah, she knew who he was. Like, you know what I mean?
Know what LeBron did in the back end. That's the thing. But she didn't, because he's LeBron. That's the thing. She knew where he was going to go.
Yeah.
And she could handle that, so... I guess. I don't know.
It shouldn't have to always be a LeBron for a woman to put effort in. That's my point. Mm-hmm. We all are average. There's a lot more average people than successful rich people.
Yep.
And we gotta, I hate to hate to be regular, you know what I'm saying? Or be the average.
Yeah.
But we gotta understand our mindset. Like, yo, my wage is this, and I'm not gonna expect my woman to fucking give me a Rolls Royce for my birthday. You get what I'm saying? Or and she better not damn sure ask me for one because I ain't got it.
That's a fact.
Yeah,
though, so.
That's not true.
So going back to the original topic, we just got all over the place.
Facts.
Do y'all think it will get to a point back in Caribbean culture where marriages will start to be a thing, or do you think that because I read a stat about, you know, in Jamaica, 85% of the women are born, I mean, all the children are born out of wedlock. You know what I mean? And we, obviously, we can see what's going on in American culture where we have the rise of single-parent household and we see the negative impact it is having on our community. So how do you think we could get back collectively to valuing family and marriage?
I don't know. I feel like everybody just needs to find somebody that's on their same wavelength, that wants the same thing that they want. If you want somebody that's gonna buy you a Rolls Royce, don't be with the person that can't afford a Rolls Royce. Like, everybody.
Don't go after the guy with the Rolls Royce if you're not in Rolls Royce budget. I'm sorry.
Wait, what do you mean by that?
If your budget is not Rolls Royce, stop looking for the nigga that's gonna get
Rolls
Royce.
Okay, but there's probably somebody who wants somebody to. Who probably
and
wants
you're gonna
bunny,
be used. That's why I'm trying to inform you guys. I'm trying to. I'm
yeah,
trying
but
to
if you're going
guys.
Into a situation like that, you know that you're broke. You know he got money. You want him to spend the money on you. You know the situation that you're going into. You know that that's a sugar baby, sugar daddy relationship, whatever you want to call it. You know that going into it. I'm just saying the average woman does not want that. She just wants to feel comfortable and secure in her man. That when she picks up the phone and calls him, like yo, da 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 da, he gonna say, okay, I got it. Click. That's what the average woman wants.
Well, she better walk into reality. That's not a solution. You can't just ask for something and it's going to happen.
Word. But the littlest thing.
The littlest thing.
No, yeah, you say little thing. I heard Rolls Royce.
No, she said the average woman. She's
yeah,
about
average
the
woman
average
need to ask for average things. That's what I'm
yeah.
saying.
That's what I'm. Okay. She's calling your phone to ask for something average.
Like what?
Like, let's say she just said, oh, my, I just got into an accident. Bada boom, bada boom. I need to change my tire and it's however much a tire costs. I don't know. I don't have a car.
Well, I got you, babe. Yeah.
Okay. So what's the issue?
The issue is I don't think as a collective y'all are speaking like that. Like that's
I
know.
Well, okay. So I have to think about the question because right. I like to think before I speak,
that's
right?
What you know.
I think the way we could get back to that is that we need to get back to valuing traditional values, right? Mm-hmm. Everything is so, again, back to what we're seeing on social media. Everybody got money. Everybody's like, I got money. So everybody's looking for a man that could do, you know,
they
give
lying,
them $100 nails, pay for their $1,000 wigs. When, and I speak about this all the time, and it's something that I enforce with, you know, with people who I engage with, just because, and this applies to men and women, just because someone is financially abundant, it doesn't mean that they're not spiritually and emotionally bankrupt. So all the money in the world, they will not treat you the way you need to be treated when you have a flat tire and you on the side of the road. It doesn't matter if he has $1 million in the bank. You want somebody that's going to be there for you and who's going to show up for you. And once we start putting those traditional values back in perspective, that's when traditional families will come back.
And I think it all comes from how the person was brought up. If they were, you know, like, if you grew up in a house with family, or if you grew up in a house with a single mom, or if you grew up in a house with, you know, because not everybody.
You have to be taught how to love.
Yeah, you have to be taught how to love.
You have to be taught how to love. Yeah, because.
If you see your mom and dad together, me, I ain't nobody. It all comes from trauma. It all comes from how you grew up.
Right.
So that's the only way you would know how to pick a man or how to, you know, ask or how to.
I do hear a lot of women say they're afraid of marriage because they've seen their parents' relationship as well.
It all comes from how you were brought up.
Yeah. So you have to heal. So that's another topic that's taboo in the black community.
With women.
American and Caribbean and African all that's alike. Right. There's a lot of deep-rooted trauma in our community.
Right. It is.
And the mental health of our communities needs to be addressed. We have to attack the problem at the root.
That too.
And a lot of things are going to trickle down and start working themselves out. But nobody wants to go to therapy.
Exactly.
Nobody wants to talk about it. It's on the hush hush.
Right.
You know,
the black
we want to self-medicate and, you know, drink and, you know, when you're having problems,
or
instead
running.
Of healing your trauma that will allow you to show up in a healthy fashion in a relationship to set loving boundaries, not only for yourself, but with the person that you're bringing into your life. Because contrary to popular belief, showing up in a relationship is not 50-50. Mm-hmm. You have to show up 100%. Yeah, and you can't do that if you're broken and traumatized.
Facts. That's true. Exactly.
So everything that we talked about, we have to start addressing the community trauma. And I don't know. That's a big problem to tackle.
Yeah.
That's a big problem.
I feel like it's hard to admit when somebody hurt you. Because it makes you feel weak. It makes you feel like, how did I let this happen? Even if it was completely out of your control. So I feel like that's why sometimes it's hard for Black people to like take a step back and really have to look and self-reflect. Because
we're always in the defense.
And it's so much trauma. Mm-hmm. It's not even just the trauma of your life. It's the trauma of being Black every single day. It's just every time you open your phone, something new. And it's just like your brain never gets a chance to just relax and be calm and not have the anxiety in the back of it.
Yeah.
But that's why you got to go heal.
Yeah. You got to heal first.
Yeah. I'm glad you said that because, you know, that sounds like a reasonable solution. Like, I mean, I'm not saying it's easy, but, it's something that we could all work towards collectively. Again, appreciate y'all for being on the panel. Again, let them know they can follow you at?
Instagram, AKYAMARIA, and YouTube, TikTok, all the same thing.
Okay. TIA.CHUNG, Tia Chung, on Instagram and TikTok.
At Dutch Banks, DUTCHBANKS, Instagram, TikTok, everything.
Diamond _ natural, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and Facebook.
Listen, if y'all enjoyed the conversation, hit the like button. If y'all didn't enjoy it, hit the like button. Subscribe. If y'all haven't subscribed, hit that notification bell. Yo, our second YouTube channel, Daily Rabble Crew Clips. Short form content, all the good stuff over there.
Yeah, we're doing that.
The main channel, we're just going to stick to the full episodes, the live streams, all the other content that we're doing. Cop the merch, DailyRabbleCrew.co. And before we leave, real quick, I mean, is it chicken curry or curry chicken? I don't know. Like,
curry chicken.
Everybody curry in the world knows it's curry chicken.
chicken or the curry or whatever. Is that still curry? It's the same thing. Curry chicken.
Same thing. No. The type of chicken, whatever chicken it is, comes first. If it's going to be jerk chicken, barbecue chicken, curry chicken. End the story, man. Like, I got it. End the story, man. What the hell is chicken curry? And you naming the kind of curry now? What the fuck? This is chicken curry.
But y'all don't argue about how Guyanese curry tastes good, though.
Beto.
It's called chicken curry because
the reason y'all had to rename it was because ours was so good.
No, we had to rename
it. That's why y'all had to call it chicken curry.
Because it's the best.
Guyana.
So there's no confusion.
Everybody knows the
Jamaica
best curry spot
and Trinidad.
It's Trinity. And Queens go.
It's Sabille.
Never heard of it. Anyway.
Don't do that.
Trinity.
Our home cook, the best. No.
Guyana curry.
If you didn't bring a sample, we can have a cook-off.
We gotta get up out of here, man. We're gonna have to talk about this on another show. Like, yeah.
We're gonna have to have a whole show.
The Thanksgiving
edition.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, and put all the curries in a different bowl and see if you could tell who's.